Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day, this Sabbath day. We thank you for this week that we have just gone through. We thank you for the trials, the tribulations, and the good times that help us to get closer to you and to have the character of your Son. Thank you for opening our eyes to the failures that were weak and making us strong in those areas. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost with salvation. We thank you for all the healings, the answered prayers and the healings. We thank you, Father, for all the wonderful blessings that you have bestowed upon us and all those that help us do this work. Thank you for letting us continue the work and blessing it so that more souls come to the truth. And thank you also, Father, for brightening my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that only your words are put forth and only you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Just a quick announcement, we do not have the T1. We have the T1 here, we have the router here. It got here late. We had a bunch of problems with it. And it will not be working until Monday or Tuesday next week. They don't know what's wrong, so keep that in your prayers. There's a possibility that I'll just cancel it, so keep it in your prayers. Things seem to be messing up a little bit too much. Okay, we're still in Last Day Events, of course, chapter 13, the end time. Right, let me
Josh is monitoring, so put the screen in here somewhere. It's click here for the Texas books. Chapter 13, the end time, and then the yellow thing. Now F2. F2 with the keyboard.
Okay. if we start getting lag, I'll need to know. Because I didn't turn off the message board. And yesterday we had an amazing amount of people on there last night. And it didn't seem to bother the room any, so, because we didn't have that much lag last night. Yeah, we had 21 people all at the same time using the message board. And that was pretty amazing. All right, so, should be letter 12, January 23rd, 1897 is the one we're starting with. And it says, we are in no case to swerve from our allegiance to God. No duties that God presents before us will cause us to work at cross purposes with Him. The Word of God is to be our counselor. The Word of finite man is fallible. You know, stopping here for a minute, as many of you know, we're trying to help some Seventh-day Adventists that have been coming to the message board. And Sister White says repeatedly throughout her writings that the Word of God is to be our counselor. Isaiah 8:20, known to the Law and the Testament, they speak not according to this Word, it's because there's no light in them. Repeatedly, we try to share with these loved ones that Sister White is very adamant about stating the Scriptures are your first place of information. With that said, the Scriptures overwhelmingly state that if a church or church leaders are in apostasy, that you are not to stand with them. You cannot yoke unequally with them. But sadly, they seem to ignore the Scriptures for some writings from Sister White that says that you should never call the church Babylon back in her day. And so, keep that in prayer because there are many loved ones that are still trapped in this church. And if they would just use Ellen White's writings the way Sister White would have it to be used, you know, pointing right back into the scriptures. If what you believe Sister White is saying is against what you know is written in the Word, then you must be taking Sister White out of context. So anyway, continuing. Henceforth, in our day, the nations are to be in a very uncertain state. Kings and rulers will be involved in greater perplexities than they ever thought possible, and this is because they are disobedient to the word of the Lord and work entirely contrary to his principles because of the prophecy of Amos 8:11 about there being a famine in the land of reading the word of God. That's one of the reasons you have no absolute authority anymore. No, everybody does what they want. You know, that one prophecy from Ezekiel where there's crimes, bloody crimes in the streets because there is no absolute authority. No one's worried about getting caught. A lot of people don't realize that the murder rate in big cities like Chicago or L.A. or New York is a lot higher than the actual conviction rate. A lot of people don't realize that. That you know, people that go out there and commit these crimes, not just murder, but all the crimes, realize that the odds are they might not get caught. And they don't have any remorse on what they do is because there's no absolute authority. Like the leaders of the nation. They don't have the Lord or the word of the Lord, so they're disobedient to the word of the Lord, and it shows in their fruits. Continuing, the question now comes home to all who have their Bible. Are we prepared to follow the word of God? Whosoever will come after me, said Christ, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You cannot depend upon priests, rulers, human lawmakers. For in Christ's day, they teach the doctrines of the commandments of men. They know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Man-made theories are placed above a plain, thus saith the Lord. And that happens in every church. I mean, Sunday keeping, for example. There is no thus saith the Lord stating that Sunday is the Sabbath, but yet they go by this doctrine that was invented by men, like she says, and like the scripture says, they teach for the doctrines of men, the commandments of men. Going on, says, but the searching of the soul has come. Are we obedient to the law of God? Will every soul look up in faith and answer to God as did Elijah? Where he said in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, as the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee. Whatever may come, persecution, reproach, falsehood, or anything that shall arise, we will not leave the source of our strength. We are to be proved and tried as in a furnace. It's one of the reasons for the trials and tribulations, because some of the garbage has to get burned off of us. We do stupid things. I do stupid things. All of us do stupid things. And the Lord's long-suffering is such a blessing. And it really is, like when you're trying, when you're striving to be perfect. Because we know there's nothing wrong with that P word, unless you're in the world and people are saying that. That, hold on. Ready?
Something may come out of
the cat's over here.
Give me a minute.
All right, continuing. All right, we will not leave the source of our strength. We are proved, we are to be proved and tried as in a furnace. And that's why I say, you know, when you are striving to perfection, when you are striving to please the Lord, you realize the trials and tribulations that come are for your benefit. It helps you learn. You look back and you thank Him for them because you can't learn any other way sometimes. Yes, I know, because I pray as well this prayer where, please, Lord, don't drag me through the muck and mire. Let me see it in the Word. But sometimes you have to be dragged because, sure, you read it in the Word of God, but you really don't let it click in your life. You know, you just, yeah, okay, I believe it, you know, and that's true and all this other stuff, but within a half an hour or an hour of reading it, you're back to doing what you did anyway. And so you have to have it shaken off of you or burned off of you. Continuing, those who endure to the end will be saved. Sorry about that. Just a little door noise. Continuing, if our religious faith is spurious, it is of no manner of value. All right, next letter. Letter 106, May 14th, 1897. Says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be here, ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed unto them, I will... this is what really shocks me. And this is one of the reasons the devil attacks the word the way he does in today's world. That's why you got all these different translations that are all corrupted with thousands of verses missing. And why Amos saw in chapter 8 that in the last days in our lifetime you wouldn't see a lot of people reading Bibles is because all these signs are recorded. All this stuff is absolute truth. All these things did in fact happen. But if you don't know it, you're running around like you're heading the clouds and it's no big deal. Life is normal, and you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Going on, he says, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Numbers 14, verses 10 to 12. We have here a positive evidence that the anger of the Lord is awakened against the rebellious people. Those who had been blessed with great life and precious opportunities to know the will of God. If the people of God had walked in his counsel, the work of God would have advanced. The message of truth would have been borne to all people that dwell on the face of the whole earth. This is another evidence, too, of the churches out there that they are not of God. And this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because if they had been of God, he'd have been back. Jesus would have split the eastern sky by now. But they aren't doing their work. They aren't doing their duty, like Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7 says. He had to go back into the city, and he had to go and get more workers at the 11th hour, because they're just not doing it. Okay, where are we? Okay. Had the people of God believed him and been doers of his word, had they kept his commandments, the angel would not have come flying through heaven with the message to the four angels crying, hold the four winds, that they blow not upon the earth until we have sealed the servants of God in the forests, in Revelation 7, verse 13. But because the people are disobedient, unthankful, unholy, as were ancient Israel, time is prolonged, that all may hear the last message of mercy proclaimed with a loud voice. The Lord's work has been hindered, the sealing time delayed. But the Lord will give them a chance to hear and be converted. Long-suffering, what a beautiful thing. But there is a day coming, and it looks like it's coming very quickly, that he's going to put down the censure and it's going to be finished. He's not going to hold off forever. I mean, heaven does start. Eternity does begin for us. There will be a reckoning. There will be a judgment. He's not going to keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Because people, with humans, they just get worse and worse and worse. That's why you saw how he reacted in the Old Testament to how some of the people were. He waited until their cup was full, and that's when it fell on them. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. He waited until the very last minute. Give them every opportunity. In today's world, it's like it was in the days of Noah. They're getting progressively worse. That it won't be long now that they will fill up the cup, and then the Lord says, okay, fine, it's done. There's nothing else that can be done. They have to be wiped off the face of the earth. Letter 28, July 29th, 1897, says, we are living in a very solemn period of this earth's history. Then, how appropriate for this time that we watch unto prayer. In prayer for our oppressed ones who feel the opposition and tested trial of persecution the most severely, we shall find comfort and consolation. And I got to tell you, prayer is comfort and consolation. When you can go out and, whenever you do it during the day, and as many times as you do it, it's such a blessing. You get away from it all and just be alone with him, even if you don't say anything. Just go walking outside. If you're in the city, that's a little difficult because of all the noise and stuff like that. No, the good reason to get out of the cities. But I remember when I lived in the cities, what I used to do for the midday prayer is I'd get in the car and I would tell my wife I'm going to pray, and she'd know I'd be gone for a while because I'd have to drive out of the city, get into the forest preserves, park, and then walk into the woods because I had to get away from it. I couldn't, all that noise, all that distraction. You can't concentrate. It's such a blessing. Even if you just go out there and you don't even talk, you just listen. It's a wondrous thing. You should try it. Especially go walking in the woods. Make a straight line. Don't go walking all around. You're going to get lost. If you do that, carry a compass. But walk out there and try this one time. Sit down on a log or something and just don't move. Don't move at all for 10 minutes, 15 minutes sometimes it'll take. And all of a sudden you're going to see all the little animals that you didn't even realize were all around you that start coming out. They know when you're coming. They see you. They smell you. But if you sit still and stop, it's like you become a statue or something. I don't know why. They'll come walking right up to you to try to investigate. You're standing there. It's really an amazing thing to watch. And then, yes, sometimes certain animals come out that you don't want to see, like skunks. And so just make a move. They'll scoot. All right, continuing. We are to keep the lamp of faith burning brightly. We are to watch for opportunities for doing good to those who are called upon to suffer. For our afflicted brethren will need our words of consolation, of courage, and hope. Manuscript 90, August 2nd, 1897. Men trample underfoot God's law and say to the people, as the Jews said to Christ, we have a law. And by our law, we ought to die, or he ought to die, John 19:7. Over and over, this will be repeated in the courts. Christ tells us that in the world we shall have tribulation, but that in him we shall have peace. And this is also another reason, folks, that a lot of us are going through the trials and tribs and suffering and whatever the case may be, because the day is going to come where we are going to be in the courts. And if we don't have our characters in check, if we don't allow the James 1:26 of the Holy Spirit bridling our tongue, we're not going to be a good witness. And we're going to get angry, and we're going to make it look bad for the Lord. We're just going to be lousy witnesses. We're going to soil the kingdom. This is one of the reasons we're going through what we're going through, because he knows what's going to happen to us in the future, and we have to be prepared. We have to be able to stand firm and even have a smile upon our face and say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. If they did, they wouldn't do it. Even if they're standing on your front lawn with a gun at your head or with a paint or whatever. Going on, it says, those who live in the last days of this world's history will know what it means to be persecuted for the truth's sake. Injustice will prevail in the courts. The judges will refuse to listen to the reasons of those who are loyal to the true and true to the commandments of God and will say, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die. God's law is nothing to them. Our law with them is supreme. Those who respect this human law will be favored, but those who will not bow to the idol Sabbath have no favors shown them, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That government did the same thing our government's going to do today. Seek after a law that will force the nation to break God's law. Of course, in that case, it was the second commandment, but in our case, it would be the fourth. Going on, it says, those by whom they are tried utterly refuse to listen to their reasons because they know that the Sabbath keepers' arguments in favor of the fourth commandment are unanswerable. All that is brought against the validity of the fourth commandment is of human invention. That fact alone, that they cannot answer the truth. They cannot refute it or rebuke it. This is one of the reasons we are called bashers, or one of the reasons people say we hate them. We'll share every loving scripture, and with Seventh-day Adventists, we'll share them also. Spirit of prophecy, not just scripture. They got both barrels of the gun. The gun of faith and the weapon, the sword of the Lord, both sides of it. Well, of course, the two-edged sword is the Old Testament, New Testament, but I'm just, you know, illustrating here, and they still, even with all that love, and without sharing any insults, without sharing any name-calling, without sharing any hatred whatsoever, because we're warning them of the danger they're in, we are now tagged as bashers or people that hate them. We see this happening day by day, and it's just no different than watching World Wrestling Federation on TV. What I mean is, the people are being conditioned to accept a certain mindset. What you see, what's going on the TV with all, like with Hollywood. Every time you turn around, I think, what was the statistic? When a child reaches the age of 12, they see 30,000 murders or something like that. I can't remember what it was. It was an unbelievable amount of actual murders done on TV by the time of 12 years old. And now you got all the video games, and you got the World Wrestling Federation, and now you got the bare knuckle fist fighting. with the blood, the real blood, and some guys are actually dying in these cage matches, for the sake of entertainment. They're conditioning the people to get to a point where it won't be a big deal to start burning Christians for night lights and feeding them in the daytime to lions to entertain the masses, because we have a law and these people ought to die. And since they ought to die, why not make it entertaining? If they can make money, I wouldn't doubt it. They'll start charging admission to watch people die. Now it's only, you know, family members or people that were wronged by the murderer that are allowed to sit in the gas, you know, next to the gas chamber or wherever he's going to be killed, behind the window. But pretty soon they're going to start selling tickets, I wouldn't doubt. I mean, I remember, you know, the newsletter I made where they had that Roman Colosseum, a mock-up. It was a miniature, but it was still big enough to have the horse races in it with, you know, full-size humans, of course. And maybe it was like a regular stadium for football. So it's nowhere near as big as an actual Colosseum of Rome. And they had the woman tied up like a Christian with the white robes and a lion sitting next to her like he was going to eat her. He looked lifelike. It was stuffed, of course, but it looked real. They're already conditioning the people. And so and then the same thing happens in the church. The devil's conditioning enough people out there to keep calling those people that share scriptures and the spirit of prophecy with them, call them haters, call them bashers. Say that they're attacking us, when in fact we're showing love. You get enough people saying that, before you know it, we ought to die. Going on, it says, the Lord has not left the world without witness. He has his holy chosen people. They do not make this world their home, but they are here to witness for God. And as long as probation lasts, a living witness will be borne by these faithful messengers. Satan and his angels confederate with men who yield to temptation against God's remnant people, the champions of righteousness. They strive to counteract their testimony and to destroy them. Many, because of their faith, will be cut off from house and heritage here, but they may still be filled with joy if they will give their hearts to Christ. That's one of the amazing things. We have that mansion, and that's not something to look forward to. It is, of course, but that's not why I do it. You know, that's just part of being in heaven, is you've got the mansion. But the thing is, the thing I do it for is to please my God, to make him smile, to make him happy he created me, not to make him sad he created me. To make it worth, to be a blessing unto others as well, to help them find Christ and to have that same joy in heart. Okay, let's see if we can get this last one, this next one done. It's kind of big, but not really. Manuscript 116, 1897 says the people, and of course she puts in brackets Israelites, were sluggish and selfish. The Lord did not call them my people at the time of the Second Temple, because they had not shown themselves willing in the day of their opportunity. They had not obeyed promptly the word of the Lord. They made pleas for delay. They tried to present a reason why they should delay. They were ingenious in framing excuses. We see this happening today. Boy, some of these excuses are pretty ingenious to stay in apostasy. It's amazing how they can manipulate the scriptures as well as they really don't have a chance with the scriptures, but they go after Sister White's writings in an ingenious manner. Which shows
you
behind it. Going on, it says they had begun, but they were broken off in their work because of the hindrance of their enemies. This, they reasoned, proved that it was not the proper time to build. They declared that the Lord had interposed difficulties to reprove their hot haste. But they had no real excuse for leaving the work. When the heaviest objections were raised, this was the time to build. Their real motive was a selfish dislike to go to extra trouble and expense and encounter danger by arousing the opposition of their enemies. In other words, I don't want to rock the boat. You know, I'm kind of happy. You know, okay, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus. I tell everybody I can about Jesus. But, man, if that's going to ruffle feathers, you know, let somebody else do it. Those who seek to save their lives will most assuredly lose it. going on. They did not possess that faith that is the faith, but to walk out by sight and no further. You know, whatever their eyes, they walk by sight and not by faith. Therefore, they were easily turned aside from the work. This history will be repeated. There will be religious failures because men have not faith. When they look at the things that are seen, impossibilities present themselves, but God knows nothing of impossibilities. This kind of reminds me, last night I was watching TBN, or whenever I was watching it, I like to, you know, peek in there every now and then to see what these preachers are saying to get an idea as to how far it has gone. And this guy started preaching about the law of God, so I wanted to listen to what he had to say. And then when he got to that one passage about Jesus saying, those who teach others to break the law of God will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And he goes, well, you'll still be in heaven, but you'll just be considered least. It also reminds me of that Baptist minister telling me, if you commit sin after being saved, you will still gain heaven, but you'll be retarded for eternity. You'll still be in heaven. Don't they understand to have something called least in the kingdom of heaven means it's not there? To be called least in the kingdom of heaven means you're not there. Because nothing in heaven will be least. We'll reign with Christ. How could anything be considered least in the kingdom of heaven? It's heaven. There's not going to be any inkling whatsoever of any kind of sin. They take that out of context. They take that word out of context because, of course, like the word gay used to be happy and giddy, today it means homosexual. Or the word forever in the Old Testament used to mean lifetime, now it means eternity. Well, they take words. The devil will take words and rebuild them so that when the preacher gets to the pulpit, he puts his own opinion to it. Because that's what the word means today's lingo. Rarely do you see these men going and trying to figure out what these words mean in the original documents, the actual scrolls. Going on, this is the great work of God will advance only by the push of faith. He, God, will present help to all who will serve him in preference to serving themselves. When the Lord sees that there is a heart to do his will, his people will know of the doctrine. He will be with them. The presence of God includes everything. We have a sure refuge, a never-failing friend. My attention has been called to the last books of the Old Testament. I was directed to bid the people of God take heed how they hear and what they do. These scriptures make special reference to the last days when Bible history will be unfolded. There are brought to our notice those who are not walking in the way of the Lord, but are following deceptive leadings. And this is extremely important. We should investigate the last few books of the Old Testament because it is speaking of our lifetime. What do you want to know what's going to happen? That's what enticed me when I was young. When I found out that God told us things as a little kid, someone said to me that the word, you know, in other words, defined the word prophecy to me. And I says, you mean to tell me that there's a book on this planet that God wrote where he tells us what's going to happen tomorrow before it happens? And I said, yeah. I says, give me that book. Give me that book. And of course, until I left the Catholic Church, I was getting all these Catholic prophecies, and it was just like, man, nobody could agree with it. You know, it was just really confusing. And then it was such a blessing when I got into the King James, and then, I don't know, maybe 13, 14 years later, I came across Ellen White's writings. But continuing, it says, from the Word, we are to learn the will of God for the guidance of our own course of action in these last days. Let your minds take in the subject. Read and consider and be instructed. Like Jesus said in Matthew 24, let the reader take note. In other words, study, do your work. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they would not, but they should not hear. Kind of like today, you know, if I don't hear it, you know, ignorance is bliss, they think. But yet, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, it says in the scriptures. People can stop their ears all they want. It's not going to stop their responsibilities, especially if they got kids. Going on, it says, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't that amazing? Because he cried out, and they refused to hear. When they cry out, he refuses to hear. That's one of the benefits of being a Christian. When you cry out, you have a Heavenly Father that hears your cry. And blessings just pour out of heaven like you can't even imagine. Going on, she says, But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 to 14. These words are very impressive. The Lord calls upon dew and rain and the varied agencies of nature, and they obey his call to be used either in blessing or in judgment. They are under his conduct. God calls for famine and plague and pestilence, for calamities by sea and by land, to punish the inhabitants of the earth in wasting or destruction or in mercies and blessings. How striking is the contrast between the things of nature, the material agencies, and the tardy inattention and the slothful disobedience of men, those for whom Christ has died. Saith the Lord, I will send on all that is yours a wasting drought. This reaches not only the fruit of the ground, but the living creatures. The cattle must suffer because of the sins of men. Be back in a few minutes.
I'm going to cross the family.